Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Hey there, my friends. Thanks for joining us again here on the Everyday Truth Podcast. I'm Kurt Skelly, obviously. My daughter Hannah is with us again today on the podcast. Hannah, I've got to say, you are making much better time than your brothers.
Thanks.
I don't know how to respond to that. Is that because I have less to say, or is that?
I don't know if that's a compliment or I'll take it as a compliment.
We had a great section yesterday, didn't we? About Peter and letting down the net and all that.
Such a good lesson, and multiple lessons within it as well.
And I think that's the great thing about the Bible is just how limitless it is.
Mm-hmm. Like even just the difference between like when you said the nets, he told Peter to put the nets in, he put one net in. I didn't even notice that before. So many things that, again, that's why I love talking to you and other people about the Bible, because then you just find out so much more. It's so rich.
Yeah, there's strength in conversation too, because what might stand out to you might not stand out to me. Some people read the Bible visually. You know, they're better learning in pictures. They're picturing things. Other people are more verbal. Some people are just more naturally detailed. Some people pay attention better to grammar. But all of it helps us to understand the Word of God. I know that you, of all the people in our family, Hannah, I know that you really like to journal.
Yeah, I have my journal with me. I have, like, this chapter is very rich. I have pages of stuff on it. And David Guzik? Yeah. I couldn't remember the name. The commentary, that I used that this time, and it was really, really helpful. I got many, many, many good applications from there as well.
Yeah, the Enduring Word commentary. It's just one of many that are available online, and just good stuff. Mm-hmm. So again, Hannah, thanks for joining us again today.
Of course.
We're in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing, according to as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, to be healed by him of their infirmities, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." So an exciting section here, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, but in some respects, Hannah, a little bit confusing. What Jesus told them, hey, don't tell anybody. Jesus withdrew from them when it seemed like great things were happening. So give me your initial thought about this man with leprosy.
Well, obviously, a man with leprosy was an outcast from society. They actually had leper colonies that would have to live outside of the city. So this man was an outcast in every sense. I mean, he wasn't allowed to be with his family, anyone, except for those with the same disease. So the fact that Jesus was willing and wanting to heal him, willing to touch him, you know, that was huge. I mean, no one interacted with him. No one would touch him, would dare touch him.
A leper had to, when he interacted with clean people, he had to actually, it was his responsibility to cry out unclean,
to make
say,
sure,
don't come near me.
Right, right. So, I mean, I can't imagine living a life like that and then have someone that, you know, wants to heal you, cares for you. So, I don't know, just the care of Jesus was probably the first thing that stuck out to me. And then another thing, like you said, one of the odd things about this passage is that right after Jesus heals this leper, he says, tell no one, which we think, you know, why would you not want him
the world to know? Everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
It's one of those things you just, yeah. So I think one of the reasons, well, he tells him to go tell the priest, and that would be the most helpful to the leper because the priests were one of the ones that rejected him from society. Yeah, the priests.
It was their job. Part of what the Mosaic Law provided in Leviticus was a sanctification for the people, not just in a spiritual sense, but in a health sense. God had rules that dealt with the health of a nation, and a lot of them dealt with skin issues like leprosy. So the priest served not only as a religious functionary in society, but also was the one responsible for pronouncing a ceremonial cleanness upon a person. So when Jesus said, go show thyself to the priest, he was simply saying, fulfill the law, the specifics right. of the law, where you have to go and actually get a pronouncement of cleanliness so that he
enter
could then—
enter society.
That's
again.
Right.
So going back to the priest means you can have your life back, basically, is what he's saying. Telling no one, it was interesting because, you know, that's his natural instinct. And he does end up actually telling everyone.
Yeah. But even though he tell no one really bears with it a couple ideas. First of all, you don't have a right to declare yourself clean. The priest must declare you clean. So you can say that, but it's not legally true until you've been pronounced. So there's that side of it. The other side of it is Jesus was not looking for attraction. Right. Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think about the first part. That's true. It didn't even occur to me, honestly. And then, but yeah, the second part, and we covered that, I think, last podcast, how we mentioned that Jesus's main focus was preaching the kingdom. And of course, he performed miracles, many miracles while he was here. But it just wasn't, that's not the reason he came to earth, because spiritual need is greater than the physical need. And that's part of the application, I believe.
It's sad to think that there could have been people in the ministry of Jesus who were healed physically that never were healed spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're healed spiritually, we're ultimately going to be healed physically no matter what, because we'll be with the Lord and have a glorified body. So it's the priority of it. But I love a couple of the details that Luke provides. And remember, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the word of God, but he uses people. And Luke is a physician. And you find in the book of Luke details about people's physical condition that help us really to understand the human condition, helps us to understand the nature of the miracle. And I like what it says in the opening verse when it says, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. So leprosy had various stages. One would contract leprosy typically at his extremities. So maybe the edge of the tip of one's nose, or maybe one's ears or fingertips. But the Bible says about this man that he was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. So he's a lost cause. Mm. I mean, there's no hope for him. And he saw Jesus. He fell on his face and besought him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So he didn't question the ability of the Lord. You can make me clean. Okay, but I am submitting myself to your will. Will you? You can. And that ought to be the way we come to the Lord with healing. We know that the Lord can. The Lord can heal your grandma. The Lord can heal your aunt and that person at the top of your church's prayer sheet. Sure he can. Now, is it always God's will? No, God has a will in healing. Sometimes that transcends the healing of the person, that speaks to the way this miracle is going to be a buttress of the message. But the point is, this man had great confidence in the ability of the Lord. And I love what the Bible says in verse 13, because the Bible says he put forth his hand and touched him. Nobody would touch a leper. Nobody. And Jesus didn't need to touch him. Think about, Jesus has already healed people already in his public ministry from a distance. Remember right. the nobleman's son in John 4? That's already taken place.
Yeah, just so his word.
He doesn't need to touch somebody. So the fact that he touched him, how loving.
It's purposeful.
Yeah, how kind. That this man never felt human touch. It had been years, probably, since he had the caress of a loved one or the hug of a friend or the simple handshake or kiss on the cheek of an acquaintance. And yet now Jesus reaches out and touches him, the human touch. And I don't want to be overly, emotional with this application, but let me just say that there is something about the touch of a human being. There's something about that. There's something about a hug, appropriate. There's something about that pat on the shoulder, that arm around the shoulder. There's something about human touch, the way God has wired us. And Jesus was showing love in that touch.
Connection, yeah.
Yeah, connection. Hmm. Yeah, don't you see that?
Yeah, definitely.
So verse 14, he charged to tell no man. But then verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, a great multitude came together to hear, to be healed of him, by him, of their infirmities. So the news of the leprous man being healed spread like wildfire. And although it looks as if it caused good, wow, great crowds are coming and want to be healed, it really was not what Jesus was wanting. He withdrew himself and he went and he prayed. It's not always about the next big crowd. It's not always about the numbers of people. It's what are we accomplishing strategically in ministry? And Jesus realized he needed that time of spiritual refreshment and the renewal of power with his Father so that the gospel message, which was his focus, could be preached with that same power. Kind of what you said before. So already, Hannah, just in the times we've talked, in the last few days, just the times we've talked, we've seen this theme of Jesus withdrawing, finding those quiet spots.
Recharging, almost.
Recharging.
Yeah.
So physically, we recharge by getting alone, sleeping, eating.
don't forget that one.
Yeah, don't forget that one. And then physically, we've got to do the same thing. What would happen if we just went without sleep and eating? You know, we could operate on adrenaline for a while, but we're going to crash and burn. And I think sometimes in the busyness of ministry,
it's easy to do. Right? It's very easy.
We crash and burn. And we become focused upon, yeah, but look at the crowds.
Right.
Look at the needs.
And I think often we don't actually realize it. And then we wonder, why am I so like spiritually drained? You don't realize that it's because and of course ministry is good, but our point is if you're not taking alone time with God, if you're not recharging, if you're just go, 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 serve, 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 then it, sometimes you revert to complaining and you don't realize what you're doing. But yeah, it's important to focus on that. And like you said, just set yourself apart.
Yeah, that's a really good point that when you go without sleep physically, you kind of become cranky.
I know I do.
when you go without eating.
Well, I definitely get hangry.
you get cranky. And yet when you go without quiet time with the Lord, it shows up and you might not even realize you're doing it or losing. It's like Samson, he wist not, didn't even know the Spirit of God had left him, the power of God. But it's these withdrawing times, these strategic, important, big rock opportunities to spend that time with the Lord, with our Heavenly Father. And so I hope that you'll do that today, my friends. Don't have to go all the way to the wilderness. Sometimes just a quiet spot at a lonely lunch table at work. Sometimes just maybe a little alone time in the car or on the back porch of your house. The place is not important. It's the fact that you're getting alone with the Lord. I hope you have a great day to get today, my friends. I appreciate you joining us, and we're looking forward to another conversation tomorrow. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.